This podcast is brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or download the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store. Enjoy.
It's time for Medical Monday with Dr. Dylan Joseph, and today a very interesting topic, actually one suggested by our listeners. And I think a lot of us have it, but we don't know what to call it, and then we just don't really know that we have it. But you won't actually notice it unless you look at something really white. Today we're talking about eye floaters. Isn't that so, Dr. Joseph?
That's correct, Jan. Yeah, that's the very common phenomenon that people describe, is that then when they look at a white background or a light background like the sky or a white wall, then they tend to notice these little worms or spider webs or peppercorns that dart around in your vision. Yeah, and that's called a floater. You're 100% right.
Yeah, especially when you go outside and you look up at the sky during daytime, I think they are quite prevalent. But yes, but sometimes you don't really notice them, actually. I think they go away sometimes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, absolutely. Your brain, especially once you know what a floater is, and if it's benign, meaning it's not going to harm your eye or your vision at all, then the brain has the very powerful ability to phase the floater out and to make it disappear. Wow. And often it settles to the bottom of the ground with gravity, but we'll get to that in more detail just now.
Okay, well, let's start at the beginning. What are floaters exactly?
So if you think about the anatomy of the eye, very much like a soccer ball is filled with air, the eye is filled with jelly to keep it nice and firm. And that jelly is simply collagen matrix. And within that collagen matrix, it's got spaces that are filled with fluid. And some of those spaces are filled with tiny little strands of collagen fibers that mat together. And those little fibers within the body of the jelly are called floaters. So that's why they move. It's a dynamic process. So when you move your eye left to right, you notice that's this little thing that darts across your vision, and then it settles. And then you move your eye again, and it darts across, and it drops down. So a floater is simply within the jelly inside the eye. People often describe a floater as either a dot, as a multitude of dots, like peppercorns. They can describe them as a little worm or a spider web. And some have come up with some weird and wonderful descriptors for floaters, like a seahorse as well, you know. But it depends on the pattern of this little collagen formation inside the jelly, and how close to the back of the eye it is, or how far forward it is, depends on the size of this floater that you perceive.
So now, Doc, the next question is, how do I get them? Let's look at some of the common causes. Is it from straining your eyes or not?
Not at all. The most common cause of floaters is aging of the eye. Now, if you think of the jelly inside the eye, take the same concept of air inside a soccer ball again. The jelly that is lining the inside of the eye is very firmly attached throughout our life to the inside lining of the eye, right? But when we hit 55, 60, this jelly, this firm jelly, decides it does not want to be a jelly anymore. It actually wants to become a liquid. So it undergoes a process of liquefaction. And in this process, it pulls loose from the back of the eye. Now, very often that pulling loose action, so collapsing inwards to the center of the eye, to the center of the soccer ball, that traction or the pulling of the jelly on the eye can induce arcs of flashing light. So people often describe a symptom of a camera light or a flash going off in your eye before they notice the floaters. And it's typically in the periphery of your vision that you notice these flashing lights.
That's it, yeah.
And it's typically in darker conditions. So when the light's off, or you lying in bed, the light's off and you move your eye, boom, you notice this arc, this camera flash suddenly goes off in the room. And you wonder, hey, where's this from? Where's this bolt of lightning? But it's actually a phenomenon of the gel pulling loose from the back of the eye.
My word.
Once the gel has totally pulled loose, when partially pulled loose, it undergoes this degenerative process, or this liquefaction process, and in doing so starts clumping these collagen deposits together. And that's when people typically notice these floaters. So the floaters are usually secondary to the flashing lights, or you may not notice flashing lights at all. But when this gel pulls loose from the back of the eye, we call it a posterior vitreous detachment. Posterior, back of the eye, vitreous is what the fancy name for the gel. Detachment, it pulls loose from the back of the eye. So that's the most common cause of floaters. It's an aging phenomenon. We're all going to go through it. There are certain risk factors, which we'll get into later, which can predispose you to these floaters. There are a more, for want of a better word, malignant causes or cause of floaters. So if you, in generally in younger years, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, develop a sudden onset of clumping of floaters in your eye, which get progressively worse. Sometimes we get infection inside, affects the gel, and the body's response is to make all these cells inside the gel, which then make it very fluffy and difficult to view through. So it makes it seem as if you're looking at a frosted window pane. And secondly, some inflammatory disorders, like inflammatory bowel disorders, inflammatory conditions, rheumatoid arthritis. Even in children, we can sometimes pick this up for the first time as a diagnosis, is if you've got inflammatory conditions, it can inflame or infect the vitreous, the gel, and you can get these floaters that move around, which tend to get progressively worse. So those are a totally different cause, and those are not so benign and often require systemic therapy to manage these floaters in the form of steroids or immunosuppressant agents, and sometimes antibiotics if it is of an infective cause. So it's very important as a clinician to distinguish between the types of different floaters, whether they're actually okay for the eye and whether your brain's going to be able to phase these images out, or whether they're going to need further management.
I suppose the next question is one you get quite often, Dr. Joseph. Are floaters dangerous?
So let's go back to the first entity where we say the floaters are as a result of the gel pulling loose when we get older, so 55, 60. So imagine this jelly is like Prestick, and the back of your eye is like wet tissue paper, the retina layer. And this Prestick is very firmly adherent to the tissue paper throughout your life. So when this tissue pulls loose, when the Prestick pulls loose from the tissue paper, it's going to do one of two things. Either it's going to pull loose in a clean sheet and not do any damage to the retina, or it can actually tear a piece of the tissue paper or the retina with it, and then it can cause a tear in the retina. You won't necessarily know you've got a tear in the retina until you're examined by an ophthalmologist. We need to dilate your pupil with drops so that we can get a really good view of the periphery of the eye, the back of the eye, to see whether you've got a tear or not. And sometimes, unfortunately, these tears, once that gel has become a liquid, the liquid can then slip under the tear and cause what we refer to as a retinal detachment.
Oh.
And a retinal detachment is then perceived as a black curtain or an oil slick in your field of vision. And
no.
This curtain or oil slick does not move. So, that is the danger of the gel pulling loose from the back of the eye. And interestingly, myopes or short-sighted people are at higher predisposition for the gel pulling loose from the back of the eye at an earlier age. And because of the nature of their eyes are longer than the normal eye, so the retina actually thins out and becomes weak in certain spots. And where the jelly is attached to these weak spots, when it pulls loose, it has the propensity to make a tear or a hole in these weak spots a lot easier than the normal eye. So we've got to be extra vigilant in people who are minus in 4-5, and the more minus you go, the higher the risk factor for potential retinal tears and retinal detachments. So that's the problems associated, yes, with the gel pulling loose from the back of the eye. And of course, if it's an inflammatory reason or an infective reason, it's very important to pick that up and to treat the underlying cause. So to treat the source of infection or to treat the source of the inflammation, either with antibiotics or anti-inflammatories. And usually that cures these floaters in the vitreous, but sometimes one needs to remove them.
Doctor, let's look at some of the treatment options. How can we treat the eye floaters?
So when a patient presents with these symptoms of floaters as a result of the aging of the gel, most of the time, 99% of the time, these floaters are not going to cause problems with the retina or the back of the eye. It is still very important to examine the eye to make sure that you don't have any retinal tears or retinal detachment. We show patients a video, a three-dimensional animated video of exactly what's going on in the eye, why this process is happening. And when a person understands the origin of the floaters, why they're there, they often tend to say, okay, well, I don't need to worry about these floaters because they're not going to damage my eye. Most of the time, as I mentioned earlier, they settle to the bottom of the eye with gravity because this gel now becomes a liquid. So if there's any densities in the liquid, they tend to settle to the bottom of the eye. So the floaters become smaller, or the floaters disperse. And with understanding that they're benign, you have the tendency to phase them out. In the event that you have a really big bothersome floater or a number of bothersome floaters, you can do what's called vitreolysis or laser vitreolysis, where we can actually laser the floater and break a big floater up into smaller ones or bump it out the way. And that's the one non-invasive option. If the floaters are really bothering you to the point where it's affecting your quality of life, your ability to work, then you can actually do surgery, keyhole surgery, through basically ports that are the size of an insulin needle to remove all the jelly from inside the eye and replace it with water or replace it with gas. And your body then just naturally produces normal water inside the eye without the floaters. It's actually a very crazy thing, the jelly inside the eye. As ophthalmologists and studying ophthalmology, we really don't quite understand why it's jelly and why not a liquid from the beginning. But that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So you can have it removed, worst case scenario. And in the case of infection and inflammation, there's good documentation and literature to show that the earlier you go in and remove these floaters, if they're infective or in very bad inflammatory cases, the better the prognosis for the eye, because then we can give direct deposition of either antibiotics or anti-inflammatory into the eye, depending on what the cause is. But it's very important to determine what that cause is first. But you can treat that either systemically with not going into the eye, and often those floaters can get better if you're targeting it right, or if the floaters are persistent and large or are causing problems inside the eye in terms of inflammation or infection, then it's best to remove them. Send that gel away for as a sample so that we can get our microbiologists to have a look at it and see what the potential causes of these floaters. So it really depends on the cause, but there are a number of treatment options that one can consider. But most of the time, if they're benign, as I said, in about 99%, then you tend to forget about them and they settle to the bottom of the eye with gravity.
Yeah, I must say, and now that we're talking about it, mine just disappeared. I haven't noticed mine in ages, so they've been absent for quite some time. I only now realized it now that we're talking about it, but that's a good thing.
Yes.
Doc,
that's the power of the brain.
Yeah,
the brain is amazing.
It's insane. Crazy. Now, the last question, Doc, what are the implications of floaters if I had to have LASIK surgery or cataract or lens surgery?
So there have been a few case reports that people say they notice floaters more prominently after LASIK. But I think it's just because you're more aware of the floater inside your eye and associated with a surgical event. But LASIK itself can certainly not induce, and it certainly won't worsen floaters inside the eye. If you notice that a floaters are more or that they're worse, then there is something else going on inside the eye which needs attention. With regards lens surgery, that's quite a different thing. If we go back a couple of episodes, you know that the lens inside the eye is in front of the gel or the vitreous, and that lens becomes denser and denser in terms of a cataract. So you're filtering the light rays out. So anything inside the eye is not going to be seen as prominently when you have a cataract change inside the eye. So now you remove that cataract, you implant a new acrylic lens, which is clear, allows all the light rays to transmit from the front to the back of the eye. So any little collagen floaters inside that eye are suddenly going to be picked up by the brain and magnified. So people can associate the onset of what they think are new floaters or bigger floaters after having had lens or cataract surgery. But the surgery itself certainly does not induce immediately any floaters inside the eye. It's simply the fact that now all the light is being transmitted from the front to the back adequately, and those impurities or imperfections within the gel of the eye are now being noticed by the patient. So it's very important if we preoperatively see that the patient has a large amount of floaters, especially when considering cataract surgery, that we warn you and say, listen, you're probably going to notice floaters after surgery. It's got nothing to do with the surgery. It's the fact that we're putting a new clean lens inside your eye, and you're going to be seeing these impediments in the gel afterwards. And very often, once they know that and they see them afterwards, thanks, you told me about it. Don't need to worry about it. They'll settle down, or their brain makes them disappear.
Magic.
Just like that. Yes, correct.
Dr. Joseph, thank you so much. Once again, very, very insightful. And a lot of people, as I said, have eye floaters, but they actually don't really know what to call it, and they kind of don't even notice it.
Yeah.
But very, very interesting yet again. How do we get in touch with you, Doc?
Leon, we're based in Knysna. Our website is www.drdylanjoseph.com. Our local landline, 044-150-0085. And we have a number of social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And we have a new launch of a YouTube channel where we discuss informative concepts and ideas and problems with the eye. And all our e-radio essay posts and podcasts will be on that site as well. So if you've missed out on the first few episodes, then go back and recap our interesting series.
Absolutely. Doc, thank you so much. And also big thanks to our listener for the suggestion of eye floaters. We welcome your suggestions. Get in touch with
Absolutely.
Us and let us know. We'll gladly answer your questions. Or the doc, Dr. Joseph, will answer your questions. I don't know what I'm talking about. Doctor, thank
you
so much.
You'll be an ophthalmologist by the end of this.
Yes. I sometimes have to listen to it again just to catch up, because it's so much information to store in my brain, especially at the end of a long day. But anyway, thank you, Doc.
There you go. Yeah, it's a pleasure, Ian. You have a great one.
This podcast was brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eRadioSA.com or through the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store.